Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Icarus Fortune. All hotels to you ultimately feel the same. A slice of cultivated domesticity that is a pale imitation of a real home. You ponder this as you sit at the edge of your hotel bed in Madrid, Spain. The CIA has given you 2 weeks' leave after your most recent mission, and you are currently intending to spend it in sunny Madrid. Outside, you can hear the sound of a guitar being tuned as somebody below you in the street below you on the second story prepares to play a little music. There's a knock on your door.
I'm expecting housekeeping. Absolutely. I love drinking. Yes.
The door opens and an old kind of fussy looking man reaches his head in. You know, this is the proprietor of the hotel. There is a phone call for you, Mr. Fortune.
Oh, you do not have my ex. That is slightly disappointing, but I will weather through that disappointment, good sir. Did the person give you a name?
No, they were remiss on explaining who they were.
Did they seem upset with me?
Not exactly, sir, no.
Then I will take that phone call. Let's go.
As you maybe walk past him and head down the stairs to the front desk, he says after you, your eggs will be in your room when you return, I promise.
Well, depending on who it is on the phone call, maybe you should bring the eggs to me.
Understood. You walk down to the front desk. It's a kind of semi-busy lobby. It's probably around maybe 10 in the morning, and there are people coming and going, moving through, collecting keys, going to their room. There is a small black phone, like a rotary phone on the desk, and there is somebody holding the phone up ready for you to sort of come in, like somebody behind the desk.
I fire that person the biggest wink they've ever had in their life.
They, like, put their hand to their chest, and they hand the phone over to you.
Are they happy with the
yes,
wink?
Yes, yeah. Like, the hand to the chest is like, they're like, oh my god, I didn't expect this.
This is Ike.
Stepping off a train in a London train station, King's Cross, Mikhail, you see immediately, the first thing you see as you step out of this train is not the porter with your luggage, it's not anybody coming to greet you. There's a man standing there, kind of like, it's like he's been looking at the people who have been coming out of the train. Mikhail, he says.
Is this my contact?
You've never seen this person before. They're dressed like a station, like they work here, like they work at the station.
Duh.
The KGB, the Kremlin, has also given you 2 weeks' leave, but with the tacit understanding that if you do not return after those 2 weeks, you shouldn't come home at all. there's a phone call for you, sir. Phone call. If you'll follow me.
Did they say who it was?
No, they didn't bring it up. They just said to look for a Russian bloke called Mikhail coming out of your train.
I follow after him, and as I follow, I want to... I've got briefcases and stuff with me, right?
You probably have, like, small, like, maybe your, like, handheld luggage, and somewhere further down the train, someone will be collecting your larger cases.
I want to surreptitiously start to unlumber and turn the safety off my pistol.
We are two very different people, Adam.
This gentleman, he does not seem to be paying much attention to you. He's walking ahead of you. Maybe even he's talking to you, very distracted, being like, you know, didn't know what I really meant by a Russian bloke. Didn't know how to tell which bloke was Russian and which wasn't. But then when I saw you hulking out of the train carriage, I thought that's got to be Mikhail. He leads you into a sort of like an office area. You can see that there are people with typewriters. There are people looking through
files and folders. There are people with watches. They're checking the incoming and outgoing trains. And there's a telephone for you, another rotary phone, a white rotary phone. You can tell there's a person similar to Mr. Fortune. There's a person standing there holding the phone, ready to hand it over to you.
I should also have clarified that because I'm on holidays, I'm in a bright Hawaiian shirt and very short Bahama shorts.
Hell
yeah. I am in a three-piece suit that is slightly too tight for me. As I walk towards the person handing me the phone, I, every human in this room, and imagine how I would have to kill them if they turned on me.
Maybe, you know, whereas when Ike Fortune came down into the lobby of the hotel, everybody turned their heads in kind of like to check out this fine specimen of a man as he walked in. But as you turn in, the typewriters stop, the shuffling of papers stop, and everybody just turns to stare at you as you walk to the phone.
Danke.
There's like a pregnant pause and then as everybody goes back to type.
Hello.
You're both here, down the end of the line.
The longhouse needs you. How quickly can you get to Nanterre, France?
In the hotel, you can hear out the front the sound of the person who was previously tuning the guitar has started to strum.
Well, I'm waiting for some eggs, but once they arrive, I reckon I can be there by the afternoon.
Well, that's good news. Do you have any questions?
Well, I was told that I could expect a call like this at some point in my future. I just have to ask, why now?
In the train station, you see out the front somebody getting off. Maybe you've got a visual of a train that's arrived. And you can see somebody's stepping off, and there are two station masters there, like they're waiting for this person. Maybe you can see one of them mouth tickets.
Well, because the time has come,
says the woman on the other end of the line.
There's some children missing, and we'd like you to investigate.
Children. This is important. I need to understand. Is this time sensitive?
In the hotel, the person strumming the guitar has started to kind of get into a rhythm, and you can hear maybe there's like a small crowd that has formed. Maybe you can even see out the front of the hotel lobby as a crowd has formed around this man playing his guitar.
It could be. That's one of the things we're not quite sure on. What we really need you to do is get there and investigate and talk to the people. We've noticed a pattern, and we'd like you to see if our theories are correct. For the last, well, as far back as our records show, 3 to 4 children, aged 5 to 13, have gone missing. It's the kind of pattern you probably wouldn't notice in the short term, but our memory is long, and we've noticed it.
What sort of situation are we talking here? Is it guns up? Is it cocktail dresses? Is it, you know, the full nine works, or are we going a bit more remote?
At the train station, you see those two station masters grab the collar of this man who presumably didn't have a ticket and start to drag him away. You can see him, or you can't really hear him, or if you can, it's quite muffled, as he screams in protest.
Well, again, it's a small farming town in the Limousin region of France. I don't think going in guns blazing would be an appropriate decision, but cocktail dresses might be a bit formal as well. Try to keep a low profile.
I put the safety off on my pistol, slide it back. It was slightly out of its holster, but I slide it back in. Very well, then. I have one more question. Does anyone else know about this?
You can see from the hotel window as two police officers, the police, they arrive and start yelling at the man playing the guitar. You think maybe they're trying to stop him busking or they'd like him to move on.
Nobody else knows about it as far as we can tell, but you won't be going alone. We're sending somebody else with you. Daniel Thibodeau. He's a French folklorist. He's got something of a knowledge of the region, and we thought he might be useful. He's also working for the Longhouse. He has been for some time. It'll be just the two of you.
So me and Frenchie. All right, I think I can make that work. Does he like wine?
At the train station, you watch as that man is taken away by the station masters, completely out of your field of view. You don't know where they've taken him, but possibly to be arrested.
I don't know if he likes wine, but yes, it'll just be the two of you. You and the folklorist.
Understood. I will be there within the day.
All right, well, these eggs have just arrived, and I think I can eat them faster than any man I have ever met. I will be there by this afternoon.
There'll be an information packet when you arrive. Good luck, and we'll call you when you're done.
All right, how would the two of you be getting to Nanterre, France, a small farming town in the Limousin region of the country. Are you driving there? Are you taking public transport?
I travel first class on a train.
Beautiful.
I hire a comically small car.
As you're driving your comically small car to the small town of Nanterre, France, you've probably looked it up in a large travel... What do you call it? What's like a...
Franway.
Yeah. Whatever the equivalent would be.
Do you mean a guidebook,
Yes,
Jackson?
A guidebook, yes. Because it's not the kind of... Leave me alone. It is not the kind of town that would be easy to find. And you can see this. This becomes immediately apparent as it approaches you on the horizon. You are in a... What would you call a rural region of the country. On either side of you on the road and on the train are nothing but wheat fields. And then in the distance are these, you wouldn't even call them mountains. They're more like large hills that have little copses of trees sort of sitting atop them like crowns. And occasionally some of them have little buildings on top of them as well. The sun is bright and shining, and the sky is blue, but with just a wispy cloud that passes by occasionally.
What's the name of this place again?
Nanterre. In the Limousin region of France. The train probably wouldn't take you all the way there, Ike, so you might be on a bus as you head properly into the town.
It's not a first-class bus.
No, it won't be a first-class bus. This is maybe, as you sit there, this, again, this sort of like Adonis of an American CIA agent, you are surrounded on all sides by effectively French peasants. You could not stand out more. And maybe as you're on your bus... driving into Nanterre, France, you look out the window and you see a large, physically imposing man in a tiny car, a car far too small for him.
I like to imagine maybe I'm like pulled over to the side of the road. I've got this big map and I'm looking at it puzzled while I've got the hood open and I am frying an egg on the radiator.
As you head into the town proper, we pan up to see the beautiful blue sky, the small town of Nanterre, sort of in the middle of our view, and the road stretching back towards us. Longhouse, 1963. Nanterre is a town that is being dragged kicking and screaming into the 1960s. As you approach, you can see that this town is positively medieval in the way that it is formed. On that main road that you drive through into town, there is one telephone wire and one set of electricity wires. You think that's powering the entire small town. You think that the kind of things like television is probably completely absent from this town. You think maybe this is the kind of town that would have, like, three telephones between all of the people living here. It's built in a sort of circular fashion. You know that the sort of circular nature of the town is kind of built almost around a roundabout. That sort of indicates that this town possibly is genuinely medieval, or at least it started as a genuine medieval village and has been built up from that humble beginning. That's just a lot of them were built circularly, and that's what, yeah, the circular nature of this town belays. Like I said, on either side of you are just wheat fields kind of extending in all directions, and in the distance, these sort of like little humps with little farmhouses or manors or whatever kind of sitting atop them. You probably would have also received communication that you would be staying at an inn called the Chartreuse in Nanterre.
Just also while I'm on the bus, I've attempted to make friends with every person on the bus.
Okay. You probably, maybe sitting next to you is an elderly French woman who maybe has like bags of groceries. Maybe she's got stuff from out of town that she couldn't quite get in Nanterre. And maybe sitting next on the other side of you, I imagine you're at the back of the bus.
Oh, yeah, I'm a cool kid.
Yeah, yeah. On the other side of you is what is clearly like a farmer and you're not sure, like, necessarily why he's coming back to Nanterre by bus or why he's traveling by bus. But he's clearly got the kind of, like, rough, calloused hands and the sun-damaged skin of the kind of person who's out in a field most of their day. What would you be talking about?
Oh, I'm just being friendly and learning as much as I can about the town before I get there, but in a roundabout, friendly way.
All right, I'll get you to make a socialized presence roll. What would you be trying to learn? What specifically?
History of the town, you know, how long is it? This is such a beautiful... Well, this looks like... this is all in French,
yeah,
by the way,
yeah.
But I cannot speak French. in real life.
Yeah, yeah.
But Icarus, he can speak French pretty good. No, this is such a quaint little town. I find myself just thinking back to the old towns of back home and that kind of homely thing. What? How long has it been out here? What do you guys do for fun out here?
The elderly French woman, she... Well, there's an inn that the gentleman and the farmers, they go to drink at night. Sometimes...
I wink at the farmer at this reveal.
He gives like a gruff, like... Kind of like he's a great. Sometimes the children, they play football in the streets.
Now this is the round football, not my football, correct?
Oui, the round football.
Oh. I have got to learn that. Let's try that game out.
The children, I'm sure, would love to play with you. We do not. We wonderful. Radio. We listen to the wireless as well. Sometimes music.
Oh, yeah. Excellent, excellent. My mind is going blank for. Artists from 1963 that I could ask you about, but that's okay.
That young spunk Elvis, I hear.
Yeah, you get any of the King?
Not for me, she says. I'm too old for that kind of new music.
You're more of the, what's the name? Levian Rose.
If you do little dances like that at the bus, you can see she, like a massive smile approach, like covers her face. Yes. And she does a little dance too and has like a kind of chuckle to herself. Eventually the bus and also Mikhail, you in your comically small car, you make your way into the town properly and it's not a huge town. You both, with very little difficulty, find the Chartreuse. It's probably around, like, maybe midday at this point. The sun is shining. At the front of this inn, it's kind of built in the sort of central area of town, and it's a two-story building. You can see that it's got a sign, like, what would indicate the specific inn, like a sign that would normally dangle out the front, but it's missing whatever the image was or whatever the sort of, like, you know what I mean. The dangly name of the inn is not there. But out the front, there is a gentleman in a suit. He's got a cup of coffee, and he's got a slice of toast, and he's reading the newspaper, and he's sitting out the front of the...
I would also just like to briefly describe what I have.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I've decided to wear.
Please.
Is I have gone for what I imagine is rural.
Oh, no.
And that I'm wearing a very nice linen shirt with braces that are purely for look, mm-hmm. a pair of high-waisted pants, and a little jaunty, like, chimney sweep cap. This is what I imagine country is. I'm also wearing, like, small John Lennon sunglasses.
Can I hit you with what I look like?
Yes.
What time of year is it? What's the weather
summer.
Like?
Probably summer. It's quite
summer? All right. Let me hit you with this. Knee-high white socks. Hiking boots.
Oh, my God.
Cargo shorts. Hawaiian shirt. Perfectly manicured hair. Military precision. And then dangling around my neck is an old, like, a 1960s camera.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You probably arrive first, Ike. There's that man sitting out the front, there's the missing sign, and then just, like, there's sort of, like, a window out onto the street, and a small, currently open door, clearly to let some breeze in.
Do I recognize this man, or can I learn anything about him just by looking at him?
He just seems like a man in a suit enjoying a coffee reading the paper. Maybe as you arrive, you cut such an interesting figure that he sort of lowers the paper and eyeballs you for a brief second over the top of it, but then he puts it back up quickly like he doesn't want to be caught peeping. But otherwise, you gather not much from him. He's middle-aged, but yeah, that's about it.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, he says.
This is the Chateauroux Hotel. Oui. Oh, sorry. Inn.
Is this a Chateauroux Inn? Oui, yeah.
And are you the proprietor, or are you just having a good time out here, sir?
I'm just enjoying a coffee, he says.
Oh, well, it's lovely to meet you. My name is Icarus Fortune.
You have annoyed this man. You can tell immediately.
Does he shake my hand?
Yeah, he does, but like you can tell maybe just from the handshake. You can tell this man wants you to go inside and leave him alone.
Well, I'll leave you to your paper and your coffee, good sir. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Merci beaucoup. He goes back to his paper.
I walk into the inn.
Inside, it's probably a bit early for it to be packed. So inside is quite, not deserted, but it's empty. You can see dust motes in the air as they're illuminated by the light coming in through the window and the front door. And behind the counter, there's a kind of maybe in her mid-20s woman with her blonde hair tied back in a ponytail. And she's just sort of like preparing the inn and cleaning it for the evening, presumably. The moment you step inside, she looks up. Can they help you? She says in French.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
I'm speaking in French because that is a language that I can speak. Yeah. But yeah, but with a very still my American accent I am an American in the 60s.
I assume you're butchering it every word you say.
Absolutely.
And every French person, everybody in Nanterre is just vibing what you might be saying. You know,
they're probably right. Mm. I believe there is a room here booked for an Ike Fortune.
Let me just check. She pulls
out
a very large booking book, like a thick book of all of the people that are staying or have stayed in the past. She searches through it. Fortune, your room is upstairs.
Thank you very much.
There was another man with you, or going to be?
Yes, I've forgotten his name. What was it again? Stephen Fabialis or something?
Let's say that's what you remember.
Damn.
Oh, damn. Are we going off our memories? Because I was going to ask you what his name was as well.
I didn't write his name down, Jackson. Same. I wrote so many other things down.
That's funny, yeah.
Oh,
Stephen Fabialis. No, Stephen Fabialis, she says.
Sorry, he's a folklorist, some kind of expert in researching various things.
She seems, like, apologetic in the way she, like, shakes her head. Like, it's not like a, you're wrong. It's like, she's like, oh, maybe I messed up. And she looks back through the book. And no, the person I had staying with you was a Mikhail Lokov.
Question.
Yeah.
Do I recognize that name?
The Longhouse of the 1960s is a connected network of occult investigators, people who are called upon occasionally for situations such as this. Within those circles, sometimes these occult investigators work together, and sometimes they work alone. And sometimes they try to stay connected to this network to have some idea of what's going on for the other investigators. And sometimes it's more like a dalliance in their life, a brief holiday to hunt a vampire or whatever, and then to return to their normal life. So it's entirely up to you. You might know each other by reputation.
I would say, yeah, 100% we would know each other by reputation.
And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it has nothing to do with the Longhouse.
Okay. Oh, no. You probably didn't even know that I was a member of the Longhouse. You just know that I'm a Russian spy who really is really good at getting a job done if the job is violence.
And is also the largest man on Earth. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I did not know that the Russian could speak French or be nice to people. So that's you. Oh, what's your name, by the way, my dear?
My name is Amori Cabonneau, she says.
Amori?
Oui.
Amori. It is lovely to meet you, Amori. I am Icarus Fortune, but my friends call me Ike, and I hope that you will be my friend.
Yeah, she blushes.
I give her a wink.
She blushes harder. I will show you to your room upstairs. Follow me?
Yes. What I'd like to do is also prepare my friend's room for him. We go way back, and I like to do little practical jokes. Nothing too serious, but, you know, like tuck his sheets in so he can't get in them properly.
You think, like, just because she feels a little bit bad that it's not the person that you thought you were staying with. So she's like, yeah, of course, I'll give you the key to his room as well. She leaves the stairs, goes back, grabs a second set of keys, and returns to walking up the stairs.
Wonderful.
You can arrange his room however you like, pull whatever pranks you need to. You can see the top of the Chartreuse is not, this is not a fancy inn. This is not five-star accommodation. The staircase takes you up to a long hallway, and there are two rooms on either side. That's literally the extent of it. She hands you over the keys. If you need anything, I'll be downstairs. I hope you enjoy your stay here.
I have one more request. When my good Russian friend arrives, could you call my room?
Could I call your room?
Just let me know when he gets here.
Oh, we. I can come upstairs and get you, of course.
Oh, you don't have a phone in the hotel?
Oh, no, we do. She points to, in one of the corner of the room, there is an antique. You know what I mean?
Actually, can I make an even more unusual request? As you were leading, again, this is part of the practical joke thing. Sure. As you're leading Mr. Logov up the stairs to the room.
Oui.
Sing the French national anthem as loud as you can.
Okay. Yeah, four successes. I suppose I can do that.
You might get this poor woman killed.
You are an absolute peach.
Thank you very much. Enjoy your room.
Just before I do, yeah. Jackson, the layouts, are the rooms next door to one another?
It's like a long corridor and they're opposite each other. That you presume open up into almost identical rooms.
I drop my stuff in my room. Now, I'm going to let you judge this, Jackson, but if I was a spy on holiday, would I bring some listening equipment with me? I would like to bug Adam's room.
Hey, can you quickly turn on screen sharing so I can show you what equipment I have?
Oh, my God.
Because you'll never guess what I've brought.
Well, look, given that Mikhail has brought listening equipment, you absolutely can.
Great.
Got a tiny Cold War happening in this little Indian France. No, I'm going to pull a fucking rural Watergate over here.
Yeah. I take two listening devices and I hide one of them really well, but not well enough that it wouldn't be seen, and then another one really, really well.
Okay. Clever.
And then I also short sheet the bed.
Okay. You arrive, Mikhail, at the inn, the Chartreuse, and you can see the same man out the front, and this time he's not even hiding the fact that he's staring. This has been two very interesting people coming into his town in a row, and he's quite shocked about it.
As I walk in, I want to fix him with a very mean look, and I say, "What are you looking at, freak?" And then I enter.
You hear what is definitely the sound of a man fake reading the newspaper. You see the same thing. The inn at the moment is pretty much deserted. And the sun is still streaming in through the windows in the front door. And a young woman in her mid-20s with her hair pulled back in a ponytail is... She seems like she's waiting for you at this point. Makov? Mikhail?
Yes. Da. This is the Chartreuse.
Oui. Let me lead you to your room. She begins at the top of her lungs to sing the French national anthem.
Do I think this is suspicious?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you don't think it's suspicious in that you're like, I'm being pranked, but it's an insane thing for a person to do.
I hear this.
You would. You would hear the national anthem. Yeah, she's singing it.
I slip out of Mikhail's room back into mine. Okay.
If I may interrupt, I would ask you if my companion has arrived yet.
Mr. Icarus Fortune is here.
Do I? All right. What do I know about? What's your reputation, Icarus?
Yeah.
I'm very good at what I do. I often go things for. I'm diplomacy first. I'm not as fist heavy as you. So I think I would infuriate you in that we both get the same results, but I don't do it with violence.
I don't think that would infuriate me. I think I'd think that you were weak.
Yeah. That's. Yeah.
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 And you can tell as well, Mikhail, that When you asked her to stop singing, she is so grateful.
I didn't ask her to stop singing.
Even just asking her a question and giving her the opportunity to stop singing, she's so grateful.
May I ask why you were singing that?
It was part of your prank.
A request from my friend,
prank
correct?
War, she says. Oui.
Prank war?
Da, a prank war. Yes.
If you'll follow me, she seems quite nervous at this point. And she, similar like before, walks up the steps to the two doors and she hands you your keys and she indicates which room is yours.
Thank you.
You're on the right, Ike is on the left.
I wait until she leaves before I enter my room.
Yeah, yeah, she hurries away. I would even go so far as to say she scurries away. like prey.
I walk into my room, I open my carry-on container I have, and inside it, I take out a small black box from which I extend an antenna and then turn my bug sweeper off. I sweep my room for bugs.
So your bedroom, I guess I should describe this room.
Yeah.
It is a single double bed. This looks like a double bed that has been slept in by generations. This is not like a comfortable double bed. There is a wardrobe. Like a large kind of oak wardrobe in the room as well. On either side of the bed are two little bedside tables, one of which has a lamp on it. And then there's probably just like a chair in the corner of the room. Your room as well, Icarus, is identical. And there's probably a chair in the corner of the room. The kind of chair that you're, you know, in an inn or a hotel, you're like, what function could it possibly serve? But there's this sort of a chair in the corner. And there's a window from which you can see the rooftops of Nanterre. It is not a double-storied or much of a double-storied town. And you find, as you're looking through the room, as you're sweeping for bugs, you find a bug on the inside of the lamp, a very obvious one. And where would you have hidden your very, very secretive one?
I think the very, very secretive one is I've taken the leg of the chair out and put it in behind the leg of the chair.
Your bug sweeper is indicating that there is a bug in or around the chair, but you don't know specifically where.
That's fine. I take the very obvious bug out and I leave the hidden bug there.
Okay. Fabulous. Oh, also, sorry, in your rooms, there would be a small information packet left on each bed. This information packet just gives you the kinds of things you need to know about the specific circumstances happening in Nanterre. This is the kind of thing, if you've done jobs for the Longhouse before, this is not that abnormal.
My question to you now, Jack, is can Adam and I have a gun?
Yeah, if you can bring whatever you like, yeah.
I brought a gun.
Yeah,
I brought a gun too.
Yeah, good.
We're spies.
Yeah,
yeah, of course. I've brought a lot of things. I'm excited to show you.
Is there a bathroom in there?
No, there's no bathroom in there. You think the bathroom must be somewhere else in there.
Shared bathroom. Yeah. Okay. That's all right. I decided to read the information pack with my just gun in my hand just in case.
Righty-o. just in case someone bursts in, for sure. Ooh,
you know what I'm going to add to my equipment? Mm-hmm. A key to Mikhail's room.
Yeah, you do have that. That's true.
I walk out into our shared corridor and I want to listen up against the door. I don't hear any. You didn't turn on the shower, did you?
The shower wasn't in there, no.
Yeah. Okay.
Is there a sink or a basin or anything?
No, there's nothing like that.
Radio.
Yeah, all right. I'll say there's a radio in the room.
I've got the radio on.
All right. Nice. I knock on the door.
Is that some eggs?
I don't answer.
Is that some Russian eggs?
I don't answer.
You super spy.
That's some ginormous, imposing, incredibly large Russian eggs.
I like to imagine at this point, you've got your pistol in your hand. I've got my pistol behind my back. And at the same, it's like a cut where in the same shot, you can see both of us cocking our pistols.
Yeah. I get up off the bed where I've been reading the information pack and I deliberately stand noisily on parts of the floor and then don't stand there.
I knock again. This time I say,
delivery for the American.
Oh, like I said, is this some lovely Russian eggs, I guess, sent for me? Big fella, I'm going to make you a deal. I'm going to open this door on the count of three. And I will not shoot you on the proviso that when I open the door on the count of three, you're not going to shoot me either.
Because as fun as it would be, neither of us can really afford to have an international incident on our hands while on holiday, can we?
Sure thing, cowboy.
I think you and I are going to be great friends, big fella.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.